From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. As always, we are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio in Lincoln. Nebraska Family Alliance has been the leading voice for faith and family values at the state capitol for 30 years, and we're excited to share today that to commemorate this 30th year anniversary, Nebraska Family Alliance will be holding a special 30th year anniversary gala on October 26th at the Embassy Suites in Lincoln, and you are invited. It's going to be an incredibly fun and inspiring evening with friends, family, elected officials, and we hope that you will be a part of it. It's going to be a really special event to celebrate our movement to advance family, freedom, and life, and you'll get to hear directly from some really inspiring speakers, including Jack Phillips, the Christian cake baker who just successfully won his case at the United States Supreme Court, and Baronelle Stutzman, the Christian florist in Washington, whose case for her religious freedom is still pending, plus much, much more. This is about celebrating and advancing the cause of family, freedom, and life in Nebraska. All of the information is available at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. It's going to be the place to be on October 26th, right before the general election, and we hope that you will join us. And so today I wanted to share and give our listeners just a little bit of a taste of what they can expect and why you won't want to miss the gala on October 26th by sharing the keynote remarks that was delivered at NFA's 2016 banquet given by Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. It's one of the best speeches that I've ever heard. And it's worth sharing and listening to again because the message is filled with truth, wisdom, and challenges that Christians and conservatives in particular need to hear. And Alan West has been a great leader and mentor and influencer in my life. I've gotten to know him personally. And so it's really a treat for me to be able to share his message on the air. Alan West is a former congressman and retired United States Army Lieutenant Colonel who served for 22 years, including in Operation Desert Storm and Operation Iraqi Freedom, where he received many honors, including a Bronze Star. In 2010, Lieutenant Colonel West was elected as a member of the 112th Congress representing Florida's 22nd District. Today, he is a Fox News contributor, a senior fellow at the Media Research Center, and author of Guardian of the Republic. Alan West even wrote the foreword to my book, Would the Pilgrims Still Come to America Today? I hope that you will be encouraged by Lieutenant Colonel West's message, and we look forward to seeing you on October 26th.
If we are to restore this constitutional republic, if we are to restore our fundamental Judeo-Christian faith, heritage, and values, we are going to need God's people to be strong and courageous. We are going to need God's people to understand that they are a shining city that sits upon a hill, that they are a fortified city, that they are iron pillars, that they are strong as bronze, because we have not been called to be weak. We have not been called to be shamed, but if we dismay the Lord God before others, he will dismay us. You know, Ronald Reagan once talked about the three pillars of conservatism. That's why I love your three pillars. He talked about fiscal conservatism. He talked about strong national defense. And he talked about social conservatism. He talked about our principles. He talked about our values. He talked about our culture. And the whole country understood that, because there's something about us that wants to be exceptional. There's something about us that wants to connect to fundamental truths, because there are fundamental truths. There are things that are right. There are things that are wrong. There are absolutes. There are things that make us unique and great. But when we have people that are going around and telling us, you can't talk about these things. You can't say these things, because if you do say these things, you're not going to get elected. You're not going to win. Well, let me tell you something right now. If you don't say these things, you're not going to get elected. You're not going to win. You're not going to stand in front of the people, because the Lord God Almighty will not support you. First and foremost, we got to restore a sense of respect to God and country. The problem that we have in the United States of America is that we have forgotten those incredible words of Thomas Jefferson. when he said that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their with certain unalienable rights. Of these, that first inalienable right being life. But the thing is that we have a wholehearted, concerted movement to remove God from the marketplace. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? Because there are people that believe that the government is the highest authority. There are people that do not believe in natural rights theory, which was what John Locke brought forth, instead of divine rights theory. See, we don't need to go to a king or a queen or to a prince or a princess. We don't need to go to a lieutenant governor or a governor. We have these inalienable rights endowed to us by our Creator. But if all of a sudden, if you lose that respect and regard of God in the marketplace, as 4 years ago in a certain political party's national convention, they had to vote to put God back into a platform. And if you want to go back and Google that and see the video, they actually booed putting God back into the marketplace. Why? Because they don't think, as progressive socialists, as secular humanists, they don't think that there's a higher authority than the state, which is what Karl Marx and Joseph Engels wrote about in the Communist Manifesto. If you have not read that, you should read that. If you haven't read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, you should read that and understand that he dedicated that book to Lucifer. This is what we're up against. This is a spiritual battle. This is an ideological confrontation. And if we do not restore the sense of honor of God as the supreme authority, as that connection that we have, the one that grants our inalienable rights, not takes them away, because if man can do it, then look what they will do, because they believe that not only do they grant your rights, they also can be the ones that take away your rights. You think about what is happening right now in our country. Well, we have these athletes and we have students in colleges and high schools that are sitting down when the national anthem is being played. Someone has sold them a bad bill of goods, saying that you don't even have to respect that symbol of who we are as a nation. That symbol that so many men and women have sacrificed and given their lives, given their limbs. I know it because I've seen it. So that we can be here tonight in freedom. We can be here tonight in liberty. So that they can be on these fields getting multi-million dollars to throw around a football. This is what I tell Mr. Colin Kaepernick. Maybe he should take a little hiatus away because he's not doing so good as a quarterback. And he should go over to Afghanistan and spend some time with those young men and those young women that are standing up for on freedom frontiers. That's how we restore a respect of God and country in this great nation. But even in our military, think about what is going on. This book that I have in front of me, this book that I had on my desk when I was a battalion commander, that I carried into combat with me, you can't do that now. You cannot have a Bible on your desk. As a matter of fact, there was a young female Marine who had that simple scripture that I had, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, on her computer desk. And she was ordered to take it down. And she refused to do it. And the United States Marine Corps, everyone loves the Marines. All the women, come on, women, y'all admit it. Y'all love the Marines. Y'all don't like the Army guys. We don't have pretty uniforms, okay? But our United States Marine Corps brought charges against this young female enlisted Marine because she refused to take down that scripture. Now, nobody else was ordered to take anything down. We have a chaplain in the United States Navy, a Christian chaplain, that a young sailor went to and asked them to counsel him based upon Christian principles because he was having struggles in his life. And the chaplain did exactly that. And the Navy brought him up on charges for proselytization. You have someone out there, a gentleman by the name of Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, that says any Christian in uniform that talks about their faith should be court-martialed for sedition and sent to prison. Here's a guy that said that a major general in the United States Air Force by the name of Craig Olson, when he spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, talking about how his faith enabled him as a combat pilot to survive and to persevere, this gentleman sent a letter asking that he be court-martialed. See, this is what is going on when we decide as Christians that we don't want to be strong and courageous. This is what is going on when we believe that talking about these fundamental principles and values is something that should be pushed off to the side. See, 4 years ago, let me tell you how critical it is in 2 weeks. 30 million Christians did not vote. 23 million didn't even register to vote. 7 million were registered to vote and didn't vote. And then you ask yourself, why do you get what you got? Because Benjamin Franklin once said that you sometimes can get the government that you want, but other times you get the government that you deserve. And because Christians decided that they would dial it in, that they would cut off their nose to spite their face, think about our Christian brothers and sisters in the Middle East. Think about the persecution they're going through. You just heard the Attorney General talk about the persecutions that are happening here. If 30 million Christians had shown up, maybe there'd be a different administration. Maybe there'd be a different focus. Maybe the bakers in Oregon would still have their business. Maybe the florists in Washington would still have their business. Maybe that portrait studio owner in New Mexico would still have their business. Maybe the Little Sisters of the Poor would not have to go to the Supreme Court to try to justify who they are and what they do, and they don't want to participate. Because right now what is happening, you don't have a freedom of religion anymore. In the eyes of progressive socialists and secular humanists, you have a freedom to worship. But they're going to define where you can worship. And when we have people that don't understand what separation of church and state means, 2 weeks ago I was at the University of Miami speaking in front of 245 political science students. University of Miami is one of the best schools in this nation. And I had a young woman who came up and asked me a question. Why are you talking about things that are a violation of separation of church and state? And I said, oh, Jesus, thank you. Because it ain't nothing like a layup. And I'm just a simple little Southern boy. You give me the opportunity to embarrass you, I ain't going to pass it up. So I asked this young lady very simple. You tell me, where do you find separation of church and state? She said, the Constitution. And so I just reached in. I said, this one? I said, now you tell me where it is in the Constitution. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, way wrong answer. Anyone else want to take a guess where separation of church and state is? Here's yelling out Federalist Papers, all kind of stuff. I said, here you are, supposedly the best and brightest political science students. You don't know where separation of church and state came from. And I explained to them, as Nate did in that video, and I love you, Nate. God blessed me when you came into my life 4 years ago. He really did. They don't know what separation of church and state means. They don't know that Thomas Jefferson's original intent was to make sure that we did not have a head of state, which was the head of church, so that people and their religious faith and their religious beliefs could not be prosecuted by the state, which is exactly what we have happening right now. But the sad thing is that we have too many of us that don't know that. And we have too many of us that aren't strong and courageous. We have too many of us that don't want to be the shining city that sits upon a hill. We don't want to be the fortified city. We don't want to be that pillar of iron. And we allow ourselves to get pushed around and get told, no, this is what it means. We need to be in folks' face. See, I'm sorry. Southern people, we kind of get our dander up, except for when the Nebraska boys be pancaking us because y'all feed them real good, okay? But we get our dander up, and we're going to go after you. When someone wrote a letter to the University of Tennessee, because one of the great traditions of our school before a home football game, a local pastor comes out and prays before a game. And the Freedom from Religious Foundation of Madison, Wisconsin, told us to cease and desist of conducting prayer before games. Well, you don't come from Wisconsin and tell SEC folks what to do. Okay, that dog don't hunt, okay? We still praying before football games at the University of Tennessee. But that's what we must do. We must make a stand today. We must understand that this book of the law and this book that our founding fathers gave us, we must not turn from it from the right or to the left. We must meditate upon it day and night. If we do, we will have, as God told Joshua, success and prosperity everywhere that you go. And when I think about what has happened in the family, I can give you personal experience. I was born and raised in the inner city of Atlanta, Georgia. The same neighborhood that gave us Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. My elementary school, Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic School, was right across the street from Ebenezer Baptist Church. Every single day of my life as a young boy, I walked past the final resting spot of that great American. And I can't tell you the impact and the influence it had on me. But back in 1961, when I was born, the two-parent household in the black community was between 75 and 77%. Then all of a sudden in 1965, you want to talk about policy, you want to talk about the importance of policy. A Democrat president by the name of Lyndon Baines Johnson, part of his war on poverty, the Great Society programs, came up with a policy that said a woman that has a child out of wedlock, no matter how many children she has out of wedlock, the government will continue to give her a check. But the caveat is this: she cannot have a man in the home. The two-parent household in the black community today is 24%. The out-of-wedlock birth rate for the United States of America back then was 6%. Today it's up to 43%. The out-of-wedlock birth rate in the Hispanic community is getting close to about 58%. We have people that are dedicated to destroy and decimating the family in the United States of America. We have people in the United States of America that are all about how to redefine what a family is, as you see spouse one and spouse two on marriage certificates. That law was passed out in California. And whatever happens in California, ladies and gentlemen, Katie barred the door. They're going to try to do it throughout the rest of the country. You can't talk in personal pronouns anymore. What's this stuff? Z and G and this stupidity. Why? Because they don't want to recognize that God made man and God made woman. And God gave us certain responsibilities and certain things we must do with a family. And that's his perfect will. But we are allowing people to take us down their permissive will. And we restoring the family, restoring our Judeo-Christian faith heritage. Those are all part of our values. But the most important part, the thing that really does define us, is that first inalienable right of life. That last debate should have shown you exactly what we are headed towards. And when I think about the fact that we have someone that is sitting in the White House right now, that when they were state senator in Illinois, they championed legislation that said even if a child survives an abortion, that child still deserves to die. What type of mentality, what type of demonic, you know, possession? And then we allowed that to become the president of the United States of America. Someone that believes in infanticide. Someone that said they would not punish their own daughter with having a baby. I've got two daughters. I don't see life being punishment. But when we sit back and we do not fight strongly, when we sit back and we let other people define language, abortion is murder. And we should go out and say that's what it is. You're killing unborn Americans. You're denying them of their First Amendment, first inalienable right. When people come out and say this is all about women's rights and women's reproductive health, we should say, absolutely right, I agree with you. We should do more research and find cures for cervical cancers, ovarian cancers, uterine cancers, breast cancers, fibroid tumors. I do stand for supporting women's reproductive health. Now, what are you talking about? But we don't get in their face like we should. We allow them to redefine everything. They have redefined family. They have redefined marriage. They have redefined life. Because we have not been strong and courageous. God just said right here, they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Why do we have any fear going into this battle? Why do we have anyone that tells us what we should stand up and fight for if we know what we're standing up and fight for is true and is correct? But if we don't solve this thing about life, you know, I find it very interesting that the United Nations just came down and said that the United States of America owes the black community reparations for slavery. Not that I really care what the United Nations has to say. But in slavery, if you read historical records, 2 to 3 million blacks were killed. Since Roe versus Wade in 1973, over 13 million black babies have been killed. You tell me, where's the real genocide? And we don't bring that up. That's why we need the Nebraska Family Alliance. That's why we need every single state to have a family alliance. Because we will not be complete, we will not be whole as a country and as conservatives if we don't talk about these issues. We will be missing something of ourselves. Because if we think that it's all about tax policy, regulatory policy, monetary policy, making people more prosperous in their own way, there's still going to be a part of us that we're missing. And in our churches, we got to stand up. Pastors, raise your hands. Pastors, you got to stand up. Don't be scared. Don't worry about this Johnson Amendment. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? This is an ideological battle against progressive socialism and secular humanism. It is a battle to take away that thing that fundamentally makes us a great nation. When you walk into my home in Dallas, Texas, you will see that incredible picture of our first president, General George Washington, kneeling in the snow at Valley Forge, praying to our Lord God Almighty. I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. One comes from Thomas Paine, written in December of 1775. When he said, "These are the times which try men's souls. When the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from their duties. But those who will make a stand shall deserve the love and admiration of all men and women." You guys look beautiful tonight. The staff did a great job, had a great meal. My belly's full. It was good chow. But you can't leave here being a summer soldier. You can't leave here being a sunshine patriot. You can't leave here being a window dressing Christian. You got to go out there and stand and you got to fight. Because the future of this nation is dependent upon you. When you talk about the love and admiration of all men and women, I close by sharing with you the story that Lieutenant General Rick Lynch, who was my assistant division commander in the 4th Infantry Division, taught us young commanders. He said, "Life is all about living your dash." I didn't understand it at the time, but you know those generals, they're really smart guys. He broke it down. He said, "In your final resting spot, there's a start date, there's an end date. And in between is a dash. And as people come and go by your final resting place, all that they can remember or hold of your life is encapsulated in that little dash. What will that dash say about you as subsequent generations of your children and grandchildren walk past your final resting spot?" I will tell you that I will not retreat, that I will not surrender. When people say that they want to take away our life, our liberty, our freedom, and our family, I will respond as that great Spartan warrior king Leonidas did in 490 BC at a faraway place called Thermopylae. In two words, Molon lave. That means come and take it. We serve a great and risen king. We serve someone that went to the cross to sacrifice himself for us. How can we do any less than to bear our own crosses today so that our subsequent generations will know that we were willing to do what was necessary to pass on a greater America for them? To not just restore economic prosperity, restore true individual liberty and freedom and spiritual prosperity. That's our challenge for today. And in 2 weeks, it will be a defining moment for these great United States of America. Let me tell you something. You don't know who God will use. He used Cyrus. He used Nebuchadnezzar. He found a woman by the name of Esther and made her for a time such as this to influence and impact Xerxes. But we are at a critical point. And only God's people, the salt of the earth, that shining city, will make a difference. God bless you all. God bless the Nebraska Family Lines. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Lieutenant Colonel Alan West from NFA's 2016 Fall Banquet, and we hope to see you this year for NFA's 30th Anniversary Gala on October 26. All of the event information and how to purchase a ticket is available at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Groz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.